Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So it's been about 2 weeks since the last class, almost 2 weeks, 12 days actually. So we had completed 4 chapters in reading and 3 chapters in questions. So we'll continue with the 4th chapter of Nectar of Devotion. See, we have some guests.
Yeah, there are from Ottawa, there are visiting, there are devotees.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know English, right?
No comprende inglese?
No.
Like, you want, I can translate them simultaneously.
It doesn't distract you. It's up to you if you want. It's up, if you think
yes.
It's okay. But if you do it too loud, it'll distract me. So not too loud.
Okay.
So everyone is up to the section. We're on chapter 4. We gave some questions for chapter 4 last time. So today we'll discuss chapter 4, and then we'll read chapter number 5. Chapter 4 is a very easy chapter to discuss because the topic is just basically practically one theme that runs through the whole chapter. The chapter is entitled Devotional Service Surpasses All Liberation. Questions, and these are some verses that referred to this particular chapter. So, I hope not. Did everyone do the questions? Yeah? You did the questions? Gonzalo, you also?
Yes.
You did the questions? Eliana? You answered all but 2. You answered 4 questions. Yeah, okay. All right. So, the main point of this, before we get into the question, what is the main point in this particular chapter, Eliana?
I'm sorry?
What is the main point in this chapter?
About the main point. How devotional service is.
So you started off all right. You didn't finish, Doctor. How devotional service is superior to liberation or to
material
offense? How devotional service is superior to liberation and to any material opulence or any material situation or any material situation. So these are the main points. Now, what are some of the examples that are used in this chapter to illustrate this point?
Primarily verses from the Bhagavatam.
Huh?
Verses from the Bhagavatam.
Okay, what is one of the key ones that really illustrates this point? The Atmarama verse. And what is the essential principle of the Atmarama verse, Gonzalo?
I don't have my name Bart exactly. I was saying that
What is an Atmarama?
It's self-satisfied.
Someone who is self-satisfied.
Self-satisfied.
And self-satisfied by dint of what?
By long service to the Supreme Lord.
No. Well, an Atmarama is someone who is self-satisfied by what? Dint of? What is that thing that's giving him self-satisfaction? It's not loving service to the Lord. Something else.
They say just to be imbued within the self.
But what is the characteristics of that?
He doesn't have any material disturbances.
No material disturbances, but what makes him satisfied?
He's not got satisfied?
Yeah, he's satisfied in the self because he has one thing that's very prominent.
Knowledge of the self?
Yeah, he's transcendental knowledge. He has transcendental knowledge. He doesn't have devotional service, but he's situated in the knowledge of the self. That the self is actually what? What is the quality of the self? The self has what? What are you? Are you this body? No, what are you? Okay, so what is... So you're satisfied in the sense that you have knowledge of your position as spirit soul. That you have nothing to do with... It's all... You have nothing to do with what? With this matter, right. You're in it, but you have nothing to do with it. And one is fixed in that knowledge, and one is satisfied within yourself by that transcendental knowledge. So that's the quality of an Atmaram. But still, what happens when an Atmaram comes in contact with what we say pure devotional service?
It's so attractive then.
He's attracted. In other words, devotional service is so powerful that even though one is fixed in transcendental knowledge and satisfied, it attracts one to engage in devotional service. Now, why is that? Because there's a higher taste. There's a sweetness that comes from devotional service that cannot be found in what we self, in knowledge of the self. That's one verse. What's another verse? One by Lord Shiva. Who knows the verse by Lord Shiva?
Sanskrit.
Six canto, seventh chapter, verse 28.
17. What's the Sanskrit?
Doesn't mention any of
that. Well, there's 4 points in that verse then. What are the 4 points? I did my homework. Now you guys are supposed to do yours.
First thing, sir, do you want me to read the verse?
Yeah.
Persons, my dear Sati, persons who are devoted to Narayan, Krishna, are not afraid of anything. If they are elevated to the higher planetary systems, or if they get liberation from material contamination, or if they are pushed down to the hellish condition of life, or, in fact, in any situation whatever, they are not afraid of anything, simply because they have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Narayan, for them, any position in the material world is as good as another.
So analyze that verse. What are 4 main points that are mentioned here?
They are liberated. They say go to a higher planetary system. If they're pushed down to a hellish planetary system or any other situation they're in.
That's all 1 point.
That's 1 point.
1 point that they're not affected by any material situation. All material situations are
beneficial.
That's one way, yeah. Beneficial is good, but all material situations are. But.
As good as another.
Yeah, they're all as good as the other. Anyone is the same as the other one. Why? Because they are. Because they are. What are they doing?
Engaged
in devotional service. Therefore, they are never afraid, and their only interest is. Krishna, devotional service. We engage in devotional service, there's no fear, all the situations are the same, and they're only interested in the service. 4 points. Okay? You got it? To engage in devotional service, and they're not interested in anything else, and they're not fearful, and every situation is the same. Spoken by Lord Shiva to Mother Parvati in relationship to Chitraketu, who was cursed by Parvati to go to hell. And he accepted that situation as his life and soul. Shiva, when Shiva saw that quality, he realized this is the devotion of Narayana, Para, Sarve, Nakushchasjana, Akutaschana, Vidyati, Swarga, Pavarga, Narekshu, Apitu, Yarka, Darshanaha.
Did you say the last one of those 4 points one time?
Yeah. Devotee is solely engaged in devotional service,
right.
Never fearing any situation.
Right.
All situations are the same to them, and they're only interested in devotional service. That's the points in the order, as mentioned in the verse. So, what is another quality of a person who has found attraction in devotional service? What are they interested in? Iliana. And they're engaged in devotional service. Now, what is it that about devotional service that attracts them? Prasadam? That's correct, but it's not mentioned. What is it that attracts them? You don't know. Why don't you know? You're supposed to know. You didn't do your homework. It's something that they take pleasure in. What do they take pleasure in? What do devotees take pleasure in?
Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord.
That's it. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is their pleasure. And they see all material opulences as what? What do they see all material opulences as? When you see something material opulence, what do you think?
It's mundane.
Oh, okay, that's one line. You see it as mundane. When you see a material opulence, what do you think?
Temporary.
He says temporary, it's mundane. What do you see?
Something rewarded by the Supreme Lord and therefore should be offered to the Supreme Lord.
There you go. That's the one. Something that can be used, that is meant for the service of the Lord. That's the vision of a devotee. He sees, he doesn't reject things, but he sees the things that these are owned by the Lord and they're meant for the service of the Lord. What does a materialist see? When he sees a material happiness, what does he see?
My enjoyment.
Something for my enjoyment. And a tapasi, what does he see it? He sees it, as you mentioned it, just temporary or miserable. Okay. All devotees, what is mentioned in this chapter, that the devotees aspire for what? What do they aspire for when they engage in devotional service? What do they want? Some of the things, maybe there's many things that the devotee wants in devotional service. When he's engaged in devotional service, what is he looking for?
To be always serving.
That's nice, yeah, but that's what we're saying. When he's always serving, what is he looking for in that? What is he trying to do?
Please
Yeah, he's trying to please the Lord. He's always engaged in the Lord's service, trying to please the Lord or please the Lord's devotees. So he's doing it, not only just doing it, but he's doing it with the desire to please the Lord. That is devotional service. And one other thing that he is aspiring for, the dust of the Lord's feet, the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. And what does the dust of the Lord's lotus feet represent? His
mercy.
Very good. Yeah. Write that down. The dust of the Lord's lotus feet represents his mercy. There was something mentioned in that verse that refers to one prayer that we sing during the year. What is the name of that prayer? The Amidah prayer. What's that line that we sing? Who knows the translation of that line? Yeah. The line that refers to this one.
Speaking of Kuvera,
no, the one is one. My dear Lord, I do not aspire for liberation, nor do I aspire for elevation to heavenly planets. I only aspire for love. No, it doesn't say that. What do I want?
I only want
the childhood pastimes to appear in my mind. Again, that's another aspect of devotional service. And what is it about devotional service that I want to see how I phrase this question here. Name some examples based on that chapter and talk about personalities who illustrate this particular quality. There's a bunch of examples given. Eliana? Who was mentioned in the chapter? There's at least four or five different persons that were mentioned in this chapter, or more actually, who are on this platform. They only want devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj, very good. Prahlad Maharaj, what was the situation? Can you describe it? According to the pastime.
Lord Shinhani wanted to give him a benediction, I think.
Yeah, you got it. And what happened? What did Prahlad say?
He rejected it.
Why? He said, I don't worship you for anything material. I simply worship you because you're you. I'm not a merchant. Like that. But the Lord still wanted to offer him benediction, so he gave him another choice. Finally, Prahlad said, if you want to give me a choice, if you want to give me a benediction, then what did he finally ask for?
To give his father liberation?
Yeah, and then he said that. And then the Lord said, that's already done. Now ask for something else. What else did he say? He already liberated his father simply by touching him, killing him.
He said, I don't want anything which diminishes my relationship with you.
Right. This is not in the chapter, so you're not going to find it yet. The acts of the Prahlada Maharaj said, just let me remain in this material world and preach, that's all. Preach to the rascals like us. Okay. He said, if you want to give me a benediction, then let me just be your instrument to help others, basically. That's all he asked. And this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. A devotee doesn't want anything for themselves. They only want either to please the Lord, serve the Lord, or they want to help others engage in devotional service. So we're not on that platform. We may not be. We might still think kind of this, kind of that. But sooner or later, you understand through your own experience that devotional service is self-satisfying. I want an interesting point I wanted to add to this, to show you the Lord, how what the Lord thinks of one who pleases Him. But I don't know if we have. Do we have access to a Bhagavatam? Do we have a Bhagavatam? Can we get
chapter
9 of Canto 7, and verses 52 through 54.
Oh,
but this is Lord Nisringadeva's response. This is interesting. I want to bring this up because I think it'll help you understand. When we speak about pure devotional service, when we speak about devotional service, we see that how the Lord responds to this mood of selfless service. What is his reciprocation with his devotees? Many times we don't trust the Lord, or we don't really understand the Lord. But the Lord makes Himself understood by His words. Who's another example in this particular chapter?
Prithu
Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj also. Read those three verses.
Which verse? 52,
3, and 4. Thank you.
With the purports as well, or just
no, just the verse. Now, Prahlad Maharaj has just offered beautiful prayers to, and now after his prayers, he praises the Lord. Now the Lord is responding.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad."
No. Each one of these verses, the same thing is being said. Now note what that one point is. It's very important.
My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Shuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me, but one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes and mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone.
Now, one point, there's two points that are mentioned in each of the three verses, but there's one point that illustrates what we're saying here. That's the one point. What's the other one? That's the other one I'm looking for. That the Lord fulfills the desires, there's nothing one should aspire for, and then this is pastimes. In other words, Krishna always takes care of his devotees. In fact, he said, I enjoy that. It's my pastime. No one who pleases me has nothing to worry about. One who pleases me has nothing to aspire for because it's already taken care of by me. So the key again is that we're speaking in this chapter that pure devotional service surpasses everything. Why? Because directly the Lord benedicts his devotee with everything. This is why devotional service is so satisfying. It's so satisfying. There's nothing there. Nothing left out. Okay? Who are some of the other examples in this chapter? Personalities, Preeti Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. Who else?
Gajendra
the elephant. Who else?
Ritasura.
He's speaking about the rarity of pure devotional service. Who else?
Vishnu. Narayana. Speaking to Durvasa.
Did I mention Durvasa in this chapter?
Well, Vishnu or Vishnu is speaking to Durvasa about his, about the greatness of his glory.
Oh.
He's saying that they don't even aspire for the process of liberation.
Right. Okay. That's good. So Hanuman, also he's mentioned.
The
Nagapatni.
Huh? Nagapatni.
The Nagapatnis.
The
Kali. Yeah. But they're offering nice prayers. Okay, just mention a few personalities and so. Queen Kunti. What is it about Queen Kunti that is her qualification? Yes, very good. Queen Kunti's qualification was, she said, I'm not like everyone else, they're also highly qualified. I'm just like a, what does she call herself?
She's I'm just a woman.
I'm just an ordinary woman. But because she was humble, the Lord considered her qualification of being the greatest. Was there her humility attracted to her? And the chapter ends with, what's the relationship between Vaikuntha and Goloka? What does Prabhupada say about that?
In Vaikuntha, there may still be some desire to have a little sort of optimism as the Supreme Lord. Whereas in Goloka Vrindavan, they don't even consider that due to their exhausted love, they just consider it as a place of Krishna.
Yeah, what's the. So, Prabhupada says that Lord Krishna's devotees are. What's the word he uses?
Foremost.
Or topmost, even. Topmost. There's devotees of Narayana and devotees of Vishnu, but still, devotees of Krishna are the best.
Yay.
Okay. Little spiritual shamanism. Okay, so. Yes. That's the essence of the chapter. Now we'll just go through the questions that we didn't answer by discussion. Let's see if we left anything. Yes.
Oh, well, I want to answer the question now.
Well, except for the ones that we did answer in this discussion.
Regarding the question I'm about, why aren't the devotees interested in the relation to the Vaikuntha planets, although it is association to Krishna?
Okay.
The answer of this question is Prabhupada mentioned that they are, according to every particular devotee, they have a different attraction for particular forms of the Lord. Also, in Vaikuntha, there are only four forms.
Yeah.
But maybe one devotee is interested in Lord Ramachandra association and Krishna in his form of two hands. But this is the answer to this question.
Why aren't the devotees interested in liberation to the Vaikuntha, although it gives association with Krishna? So what's the difference between the qualities of Vishnu and the qualities of Narayana? I mean, the qualities of Krishna and Krishna and Narayana.
Krishna has 64
qualities. Oh yeah, but what is the distinction?
Majesty. Oh, happiness.
Yeah, in Vaikuntha there is reverence, in Vrindavan the.
Yeah, but what is mentioned is those four qualities that are distinct.
What?
That Narayan doesn't have.
Wonderful pastimes.
Wonderful pastimes.
Flute.
And?
Beauty.
Transcendental beauty and his devotees. Surrounded by his. So, you know, it's. There's certain qualities of the Krishna that.
What are those four qualities?
Let's mention also a nectar devotion. The 64 qualities of Krishna.
No, I mean the four that Krishna has that aren't
there. Yeah. Okay, he's surrounded by loving devotees, plays on his transcendental flute, his beautiful bodily effulgence, his extraordinary pastimes. Pastimes, beauty, flute, and devotees. These are the four. The Vishnu has all the qualities of Krishna except these four. Okay. Let's see. Prove that devotional service is beyond liberation. We discussed that.
Yeah.
Briefly explain how it's everyone's duty to offer everything for the satisfaction of the Lord and prove that this will bring happiness and enjoyment to them. Who wants to answer that question? Okay.
From Brahmas down to the basic extent, knowing that this island for enjoying the material appearances. The simply meant for offering everything to the people of character, the personality of God, and by doing so, many automatically enjoy the benefits. For example, can be cited again for the different parts of the body collectively.
There you go. Yeah, okay, continue.
And could you then so that? Ultimately, a meal may be offered to the stomach. A thing has gone to the stomach, all parts of the body, including the joints and the family. But similarly, everyone's food is satisfied with the meal, and then I'm happy everyone will be satisfied.
Yeah. Or because we're all. What's the final summation? Because we are all. He just read it.
Parts and parts.
They're all connected to Krishna, as the stomach is connected to the rest of the body. It connects the rest of the body by the energy source coming from food that goes into the stomach. Similarly, when Krishna is the center, and then everyone is connected to Krishna. So when Krishna is satisfied, everyone automatically becomes satisfied. Okay, I explain how the devotees, though giving up material enjoyment, still enjoy happiness. Jerry.
Those who are engaged in devotional service can automatically give up material life and also enjoy the transcendental bliss of hearing and chanting the wonderful activities of the Lord.
So the answer is hearing and chanting the Lord. We got number six. Oh, okay, that's the answers. So any questions that anyone wants to discuss? Any of those six questions?
I'm just saying that the impersonalists, they want liberation from the material distress. That is Srila Prabhupada, I listened in a lecture that this compared to when a person is going to sleep, he forgets all his material problems, but at one moment he wants to wake up. So, but the devotee is going beyond that. He gives up the material distress, but he wants to listen to the activities of the Lord. He is enjoying something higher, but the impersonalism only. It stops suffering.
Right.
But it doesn't get anything else.
Yeah. Is stopping enjoying suffering the happiness that one experiences in life? Simply to stop your suffering, is that happiness? No, stopping your suffering means just to be normal. Yeah, you're not meant to suffer. So if you somehow stop suffering, you're normal. But the ecstasy and happiness that comes with one's innate nature is only experienced through the process of contact with Krishna or devotional service. So it has to be something more. The impersonalists, they're not experiencing distress, but they're not experiencing real happiness either. It's like a man, you know, who's sick, and then all of a sudden he gets cured. But at the same time, nothing's changed. But then if he goes out and starts doing something in his life, and finds happiness in that, then that's higher. Simply, the impersonalists are more or less stopping suffering, that's all. Through transcendental knowledge, through various types of austerities. But life means pleasure, and pleasure means activity. And activity, devotee spiritual activity, is coming in contact with Krishna, which gives pleasure. Therefore, a devotee wouldn't trade, you know, anything for any situation if it's without devotional service. Even the best material situation seems to be, you know, like hell if there's no opportunity to serve. Whereas a hellish situation is nice even if one gets a chance to engage in devotional service. So it's the service that makes the difference. The gyanis don't. They don't perform service.
They're on an intermediate state. They're one step above the karmis, but still they're not on the level of the devotees.
This is important to understand. You understand what devotional service is. It's not just doing things. It's actually a certain consciousness that comes
with devotional service, with connecting with Krishna through that service. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam verses that refer to devotional service. That was just a reference. How many looked up those verses? Everybody? Yes? Have you looked up some of them? Next time. Okay, so chapter 4, any more final questions? Discussions? This is an interesting chapter. Yes. So the next chapter is chapter 5. It's called Purity of Devotional Service. Okay, we can start reading for today. Any questions from the previous lessons?
But Prabhupada said that those who are in the four liberation stages may still be going through different stages of existence. In the beginning they may want the openness of Krishna, but at the mature stage the dormant love for Krishna exhibited in Vrindavan becomes prominent in their hearts. So the devotees who are liberated, they are still making advancement in Krishna consciousness. I understand from here that those who are more elevated, they go to Krishna in Vrindavan. But what happened with devotees like Hanuman? He's also still a devotee, but the king will never develop the mood of Vrindavan.
Yes, that's right. Prabhupada mentions in that although there are different kinds of devotees, but you see there's an added sweetness in Krishna that's not in there in any other incarnation. Therefore Krishna is the embodiment of all the qualities of the Supreme. Whereas Lord Vishnu, our Lord Narayan, which is incarnation of Ramachandra's incarnation of Lord Narayan, the devotee is completely satisfied in loving ecstasy to the Lord, but there's certain elements that are not there in that aspect of the Godhead, such as those four we mentioned.
So because of that, the gopis are what we talk about, the gopis, even higher than the Hanuman.
The love of the gopis is the highest. And only Krishna can, what we say, provoke that type of loving emotion. Maybe Ram can't do that. Or doesn't do it. He just doesn't do it. As long as you have to remember one thing, as long as there's the mood of awe and reverence is there, there's something less...